From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Duncan in for Beth Ruyak. This morning, we're continuing our coverage of wildfires across Northern California. Joining us today is Chief Michael Moeller from CAL FIRE. Chief, welcome back to Insight.
Good morning.
The Mendocino Complex fire broke last year's record from the Thomas fire. What's the bigger story behind these numbers?
Well, unfortunately, what we're seeing now is, you know, when we would have a 100,000 acre fire that was, you know, that was a milestone, that was a marker. And as we see these larger, what we consider mega fires, it's almost, unfortunately, what we saw last, you know, fall in the October and December sieges is now we haven't stopped. And now here we are over 290,000 acres, a record for the state of California. Is it really shows that the fuel conditions, the climate, these fires continue to grow at rapid rates and turn into major fires and even conflagrations.
It seems like fuel everywhere is one of the key factors in all of this. Would you say that's the case?
No, absolutely. And we said before, people use the term the new normal. Well, it's not new anymore. Unfortunately, this is the normal. We don't see any end in sight. And you have 6 years of drought. So you have the drought stricken, what we consider fuels, but the brush, you still have the tree mortality epidemic. You use that in combination with the higher temperatures, the lower humidities. We're seeing more red flag warnings and fire weather watches. Unfortunately, it's a recipe for disaster, and we're seeing these rapid rates, explosive fire growth throughout the state.
Right now, we're in the middle of this emergency, but is there anything that we can look toward in terms of trying to manage some of this fuel as we get past these emergencies?
No, absolutely. And Governor Brown, his administration, through the executive order that was issued in May, forest health, we have the Forest Management Task Force. What the listeners need to know is that on a daily basis, there's fuels treatment, forest management going on, fuel reduction, prescribed fire, and the funding that they've supported it with. So, yes, there is. There's grants being issued to local fire safe councils. So we're leaning forward, of course, in the forest management, and that really is something that the public can recognize, and it's a really good thing in general for us statewide.
So getting back to the fires at hand, talking about strategy, do you think that media outlets pay more attention to acreage and containment numbers than we should?
No. I think it really, you're an ally to us to get that message out to the public, to the people that are affected by those incidents where we look at acreage. I think for containment, people have to understand when you have a 290,000 acre fire and it's 34% contained, that is a very, very small mark on what we consider our operational map. We still, on a lot of these fires, we still have a long road to go. Car fire, for example, there may not be smoke in your area or there may be interior smoke, but that doesn't mean there's still an open fire line. It's still a threat to the community. So when we look at containment as the general public, unless that says 100%, there's still that, that threat that if a wind was to hit it or we had a change in weather, that we could see the fire grow. So the containment is very important, but it can't get a false sense of security as those numbers as we look at the size of the fire.
I think the average person looking at all these fires that have broken out might just feel like you and your teams are overwhelmed. Do you have enough resources?
We do, through California under the Master Mutual Aid Program, not only CAL FIRE, but our local government and our federal partners are able to move resources up and down the state on an hourly basis, depending on where fire activity is. When we see, and it's not just California, the whole Western region is experiencing major fires. So we have to share those resources, not only here in the state, but nationally. But when we see conditions like this coming, we don't wait to order. We were already going out to our national partners, other states, even international from New Zealand and Australia to get those resources on scene immediately. Do we have the opportunity to put an engine in every driveway? No, that's not the case. But again, strategically moving resources from fire to fire, we do it, like I said, on an hourly basis.
So how do you prioritize? Is it simply a matter of where there are homes and structures threatened? Do you let some fires burn simply because it's forest only? How do you prioritize?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. Our primary goal is life and property and the resources of the state of California, and they go exactly in that order. So we really, what we call triage each incident where there's a threat to life and a threat to infrastructure and a threat to the natural resources of California, those become the priority fires. Working along with our federal partners, you know, depending on where the fire is, if it's in a wilderness area, tactics and strategy may change, but the public needs to know our main focus is to stop the fire growth from impacting what we would consider wildland-urban interface, which would be structures, but ultimately the public safety is always at the forefront as far as response.
And is the fact that people are building more and more and wanting to be further away from the city and being out in the wilderness creating an issue for CAL FIRE overall as you continue to battle this year after year?
It is. And if you look at California, a lot of the areas that you build into or would be what we consider that wildland urban interface up against the hillsides. And it's not just CAL FIRE. It's our local government partners also involved in this. But what we're doing is through programs such as what we call land use planning and working with developers, working with local districts, cities and counties on what we consider fire safe communities as they build into those areas. And that includes hardening structures, fire resistant structures, even down to looking at how they lay out their streets for evacuation routes. So it's going to continue, but we need to be part of that. And we are, and we're engaged as far as building these, what we consider fire safe communities. But again, unfortunately, what we saw in Santa Rosa, people that thought they were in the wildland interface didn't realize that that fire jumped a 6-lane freeway and was burning down, you know, commercial buildings such as, you know, Walmart and Starbucks. It burnt down hotels. Hospitals were evacuated. So we're seeing this this normal now that regardless if you're right up against the hillside, wildfire can affect your community.
I'm talking with Chief Michael Moeller about the wildfires across the state. Chief, is there a way to create neighborhoods with better evacuation modes? And what are you doing along that line? And some older neighborhoods, it might be. There's one way in and one way out, which certainly creates havoc.
No, that is a great point. So again, back to what I was just saying, we for newer developments, we are working with land use planning and down to the developers and the cities and the counties for roadway systems. But if you should live in an area that, again, has one way in, one way out, we bring it back to the public visiting readyforwildfire.org, which they can get a plan there to not only get their home prepared, but exercise an evacuation plan. And it goes back to, and you made the point, yes, one way in, one way out. If you live in those areas, that's where it comes down to the public. Well, we need their situational awareness. We say it in the fire service all the time. The public needs to know their surroundings. And even more so, even if it's an evacuation advisory, or you feel that there is a fire in the area and you don't feel safe, do not wait till the last minute. Unfortunately, we saw in some of the North Bay fires, some of the fatalities occurred in vehicles where people were trying to leave that area. That just goes back to leave early, leave safe so you can get out of that area, and first responders can actually get in and access those neighborhoods to protect life and property.
So let's get some specifics. Let's talk about the CAR fire in Shasta County. How is the progress going?
You know, crews have made progress, but again, over 163,000 acres of 47% contained, which, you know, for us, that's a halfway mark. But again, we still have 21,000 residents that are evacuated. We have, you know, 1,200 homes still threatened. And that's back to when I say we're cautiously optimistic is we still have pretty much 50% of that fire is still open fire line. We have fire weather coming into the area. But again, crews are making progress every day. Every time that percentage comes up, we feel it's a success.
Do we have a cause on that fire?
It was. It was a vehicle, a malfunctioning of a vehicle that had a rim that actually sparked some sparks off the roadway into the brush. It was the ultimate cause. The person actually did it. Called 911 and remained on scene. So it was really, really in an unfortunate happening.
Amazing how fast that spread.
It really was. And again, we talk about fuels conditions and that day with the weather, temperatures well over 100. It was very unfortunate.
We reported earlier this week that the Yosemite National Park will be closed indefinitely while the Ferguson fire poses threats to public health and safety. How has the progress gone against the Ferguson fire?
You know, the crews are making progress. It is, you know, that park, they're over 94,000 acres, 43% containment. There's still, obviously, you mentioned the park. There's still some evacuations in the area. Very steep, very difficult country to fight fire in. But again, the park, not only for the safety of the public, but the air conditions throughout that valley is really where that smoke is settling. But again, crews are making progress, and it's going to take some time. But at that 43% containment, like I said, every percentage is a success.
And as we keep looking ahead, what about the long-term outlook for Yosemite National Park? Do some of these fires that burn actually help? Are areas that have already burned equally vulnerable the next year?
Well, you know, I would leave that to our partners, with, our federal partners in the National Park Service, as far as, you know, the makeup and the fuels in that area. Sure, managed fire can benefit the areas for regrowth and repurpose of the land. But again, for that area, I'm not super familiar with it, but I know our like I said, our federal partners, National Park Service, you know, utmost of concern is one, the safety, but two, of the actual environment in that area.
So tell me about what you're keeping your eye on right now. I'm a lot, obviously, but do we have new fires that have popped up overnight, or what are you focused on today specifically?
Well, we still have, you know, over 17 large fires. Unfortunately, yesterday, the Holy Fire in Orange County, that's an area that hasn't burnt since the early 80s. It's over 4,000 acres. It's 0% contained. That is our federal partners, Cleveland National Forest. We are assisting, local government's assisting. So we have our eye on that. But again, we have to watch any of these fires until, like I said, that number's at 100%. There's still open fire line, and that's always a concern. So that's where we look at tactics, strategy, and where we're going to move our resources.
And in terms of the personnel that's available to fight the fires, I understand that there's actually some military reserves being trained to attack these wildfires. Are you familiar with that topic?
Absolutely. And there's in Cal Fire, everybody in the state benefits from our partnership with the California National Guard, the military department. We have hundreds of National Guard troops not only functioning as what we consider hand crews on the ground, doing battle, but also with support of law enforcement and military police to protect communities from looting our aircraft. They really are where we can go to and lean on with that partnership from the National Guard. It goes without saying the benefit to the citizens of California that they really do for us. So yes, they are activated. We will continue to use them, and they help what we call that total force concept. It just adds more depth to really our tools in the toolbox and operational personnel.
And it is a sad story, but there is looting in this type of situation. What have you heard about incidents regarding looting?
Well, I can tell you law enforcement, they take that very seriously, regardless if it was not in a disaster, but it's very sad. Our fire survivors or people that are evacuated not only have to worry about, you know, the condition of their home, but have to worry about that people would go into areas and physically break into their homes. I'm telling you, they will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And we have brought in law enforcement officers who are partners at California Office of Emergency Services that support these incidents with us. Have brought in law enforcement officers, including CHP, local sheriff, local police departments to patrol those areas. So what I can say is if you are caught, you will go to jail, you will be prosecuted. And it's just a horrible thing. These people are already going through enough for somebody to think that to even come close to going in and doing that. We don't tolerate it, and you will be arrested.
Do you have any information on animals that have been evacuated, especially pets, of course, for people that have had to flee for their lives? Where are dogs and cats and maybe rabbits and who knows what being taken?
No, that's again another great point. That falls into our operation also, working with animal rescue groups, large animal rescue groups, even with the county shelters. If you do have an animal, you're trying to locate it, go through your county or your city's animal shelter. They'll be able to direct you. If you have horses or any type of large livestock that was evacuated, usually you look through the they'll either be staged at a fairgrounds or open area, but check with your local city or county for those shelters, because there is active animal rescue going on. And so if you are missing a pet or you know someone that is, again, go through your local county and see animal shelters, and they'll be able to direct you to where they may be.
Chief Moeller, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for being on Insight, and thank you for keeping us up to date. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
We have more on our website at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.